Father God, we ask that you will come and settle our hearts to hear you.
Far, vi beder om, at du vil komme og berolige vores hjerter, så vi kan høre dig.
Expand a place within our minds to receive from you.
Og gør et sted i vores sind klar til at høre fra dig.
And settle our bodies into a comfortable place.
Og giv os vores krop ro til at være behagelig.
Thank you, Father.
Tak, far.
Amen. Eugene Peterson says that the two most difficult things to get straight in life.
Eugene Peterson siger, at de to sværeste ting at få på plads i livet.
Are love and God.
Ja, kærlighed og Gud.
More often than not, the mess people make of their lives.
Ofte så er det rod, der opstår i folks liv.
Can be traced to failure or stupidity or meanness.
Det hænger sammen med fejlslagenhed eller dumhed eller ondskab.
In one or both of these areas.
I et eller begge af de her områder.
The basic biblical Christian conviction.
Den grundlæggende bibelske kristne overbevisning.
Is that these two subjects are intricately linked.
Ja, de her to ting hænger meget uløseligt sammen.
If we want to deal with God the right way, we must learn to love the right way.
Hvis vi gerne vil forstå Gud rigtigt, må vi også elske på den rigtige måde.
If we want to love the right way, we have to understand God in the right way.
Og hvis vi vil elske rigtigt, så må vi også forstå Gud rigtigt.
God and love can't be separated.
Gud og kærlighed kan ikke adskilles.
Therefore, two of the most basic questions are.
Derfor er to af de mest grundlæggende spørgsmål.
What is love like?
Hvordan er kærlighed?
And what is God like?
Og hvordan er Gud?
Now, so many times we in the church ask, what is God like?
Og mange gange så spørger vi i kirken, hvordan er Gud?
And come up with the wrong answer.
Og finder det forkerte svar.
Because our notion of God is mediated to us through parents.
Fordi vores opfattelse af Gud bliver givet til os gennem vores forældre.
Through teachers, clergy and the church.
Gennem lærere og ansatte i kirken og selve kirken.
No one starts off by knowing God directly.
Ingen starter med at kende Gud direkte.
And of course some people never come to know God directly.
Og der er selvfølgelig nogen, som aldrig lærer Gud direkte at kende.
And often the God that people reject.
Og ofte så er den Gud, som folk afviser.
Is a distorted image and not the true God.
Et forvrænget billede af Gud er ikke den sande Gud.
We all have to some extent.
I en eller anden grad så må vi alle.
Because of the families we've been brought up in.
På grund af de familier vi er blevet vokset
op
i.
Due to our culture.
Eller på grund af vores kultur.
We all have an inadequate, distorted view of God.
Så har vi alle på en eller anden måde et utilstrækkeligt og forvrænget billede af Gud.
Now in one part of my mind.
Og en del af mit sind.
Intellectually, I may know that God is not like my earthly dad.
Intellektuelt så kan jeg måske godt forstå, at Gud ikke er som min jordiske far.
But with another part of my mind.
Men med en anden del af mit sind.
I have pictures, impressions, images.
Så har jeg billeder og indtryk.
That are different.
Som er anderledes.
I'd been a Christian about 10 years.
Jeg har været kristen i cirka 10 år.
And I'd been praying for people to be healed for at least 8 of those years.
Og i hvert fald 8 af de år havde jeg bedt for helbredelse for andre mennesker.
And one evening in our church, the vicar who was preaching.
En aften i vores kirke så sagde præsten.
Asked God to show us the distorted images we had in our own hearts.
Han bad Gud om at vise os de forvrængede billeder vi havde i vores hjerte.
The picture I had was of a shadowy, distant person.
Det billede jeg havde var sådan var en skygge eller en fjern person.
Now I always knew my dad loved me.
Jeg vidste altid at min far elskede mig.
And at some level I'd accepted God loved me.
Og på et eller andet niveau havde jeg også accepteret at Gud elskede mig.
But as I said earlier, my earthly dad was emotionally absent.
Men som jeg sagde tidligere, så var min jordiske far følelsesmæssigt fjern.
And in my deep heart, I saw God as being absent.
Og dybt ind i mig så jeg også Gud som værende på afstand.
Shadowy, distant.
sådan en skygge og fjern.
Now this is despite the fact I could quote endless scriptures about God being near me.
Og det er på trods af at jeg kunne citere masser af bibelvers om at Gud var mig nær.
That he would never leave me.
Og at han aldrig ville forlade mig.
But my heart was playing a different tune.
Men mit hjerte sang en anden sang.
Now we can name this as the split between the head and the heart.
Og vi kan kalde det her adskillelsen mellem hjerte og hoved.
More accurately, it is a split between two ways of knowing.
Mere præcis så er det en adskillelse mellem eller en, et skel mellem to måder at tænke på.
The left brain hemisphere.
Den venstre hjernehalvdel.
The so-called logical way of defining.
Den logiske måde at tænke på.
That likes facts and reason and sequential communication.
Som godt kan lide fakta og forstand og logiske måder at tænke på.
And then there's the right brain hemisphere.
Og så den højre hjernehalvdel.
That is the more intuitive, responsive.
Som er mere intuitiv og giver gensvar.
That communicates through symbols.
Og som kommunikerer gennem symboler.
But for poetic language reasons,
men for poetiske grunde,
I'm going to talk about the head-heart split.
Så taler jeg om hoved og hjerte.
I'm not going to keep saying left brain, right brain hemisphere.
Jeg bliver ikke ved med at sige højre og venstre hjernehalvdel.
Pascal says the heart has its reasons that reason knows nothing about.
Pascal siger, at hjertet har grunde, som forstanden ikke kender til.
And so our heads may be very clear about what God is like, but if we are well acquainted with Scripture.
Så det kan godt være, at vores hoved har en idé om, hvordan Gud er, især hvis vi kender Skriften godt.
But our hearts will hold these distorted pictures.
Men vores hjerte kan stadig have forvrængede billeder af ham.
We therefore need to ask God to heal our hearts.
Så derfor bliver vi nødt til at bede Gud om at helbrede vores hjerte.
We need to ask him to re-symbolize them.
Og at give os nye symboler.
Now re-symbolizing the heart merely means putting in new pictures.
Og resymbolisere hjertet, det betyder bare at man får nye billeder.
And this is very important because the pictures in our hearts affect our emotions.
Og det er meget vigtigt, fordi de billeder vi har i hjertet påvirker også vores følelser.
Now you'll notice throughout this week we don't talk about emotions a great deal.
Som I vil lægge mærke til i løbet af ugen, så taler vi ikke særlig meget om følelser.
Emotions and feelings are like children.
Følelser er ligesom børn.
They need to be nurtured and educated.
De skal have næring og undervisning.
Now in Victorian England we used to believe that children should be seen but not heard.
Under Victoria-tiden så tænkte man at børn skulle ses men ikke høres.
This is not good parenting.
Det er ikke særlig god opdragelse.
And so evangelical sermons in England will tell us that we concentrate on faith and feelings will follow.
Så den evangelske undervisning i England siger at hvis vi koncentrerer os om tro så følger følelserne med.
This is not good teaching.
Det er heller ikke god undervisning.
Our emotions then just become suppressed and silenced.
For det der sker er bare at vores følelser bliver tavse og undertrykte.
Alternatively, however, allowing ourselves to be defined by our feelings.
Alternativt så kan vi lade os selv blive defineret af vores følelser.
It's the same as allowing children to make all the decisions in the household.
Men det er det samme som at lade børnene beslutte alle reglerne i huset.
It's just chaotic.
Det bliver bare kaotisk.
So good parenting and therefore our own discipleship of ourselves.
Så god opdragelse eller vores discipleskab af os selv.
Means we listen to our feelings.
Er at vi lytter til vores følelser.
We reassure ourselves, we ask God to come and nurture and comfort us.
Og at vi trøster os selv og beder Gud om at komme og give os næring og tryghed.
Whilst educating distorted feelings to live in truth.
Mens vi samtidig opdrager vores forvrængede følelser til at leve i sandheden.
So that we're not defined by them.
Sådan så de ikke definerer os.
And putting healthy pictures in our hearts helps to heal those emotions.
Og det at få sunde billeder i hjertet hjælper til at helbrede vores følelser.
You see, when we have a good perception of how God is and how we see him.
Når vi har et godt billede af hvordan Gud er og hvordan vi ser ham.
The truth of his character profoundly affects how we see ourselves.
Så påvirker sandheden om hans karakter dybt, hvordan vi ser os selv.
The two lenses through which we view life.
De to briller, som vi kan se livet gennem.
Are the way we see ourselves and the way we see God.
Ja, måden vi ser os selv og måden vi ser andre. Nej, Gud.
So for instance, if our on a personal level, if our fathers have been like divine dictators.
Så på et personligt plan, hvis vores fædre har været sådan guddommelige diktatorer.
And operated benevolent control over us.
Og har haft sådan en gudvillig kontrol over os.
We will think God is like this and we'll be passive.
Så tror vi, at Gud er sådan, og så bliver vi passive.
We think we've got no choice.
For vi tror, vi ikke har noget valg.
If our fathers were more like policemen,
hvis vores fædre var mere som politimænd,
we tend to feel more like prisoners, forever worrying whether God's going to tell us off or not.
Så føler vi os mere som fanger, og vi bekymrer os om Gud vil skælde os ud eller ej.
If our parents were judgmental, making us feel not good enough,
og hvis vores forældre var fordømmende og fik os til at føle, at vi ikke var gode nok,
or were critical,
eller var kritiske,
we often become the same,
så bliver vi ofte på samme måde.
Continually judging ourselves, measuring ourselves,
vi bliver ved med at bedømme os selv og fordømme os selv,
and thinking God is the same as our parents.
Og så tror vi, at Gud er som vores forældre var.
And so there's lots of aspects of God where, unless that's been modeled to us in our own families, we have to ask God to come and give pictures in our hearts.
Der er masser af sider af Gud, som hvis vi ikke har fået dem vist i vores familier, så må vi bede Gud om at give os billeder af det i hjertet.
Now, one of God's main characteristics is that he is a life giver.
Og en af Guds primære karaktertræk er, at han er livgiver.
In John 10, verse 10, it says the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy.
I Johannes 10:10 står der, at tyvens formål er at stjæle og dræbe og ødelægge.
My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life.
Men mit formål er at give dem et rigt og tilfredsstillende liv.
When we've been emotionally deprived, we can only receive tiny little tokens of God's love.
Hvis vi er blevet følelsesmæssigt berøvet, så kan vi kun modtage små symboler på Guds kærlighed.
To expand and receive more of his life.
Indtil vi kan sådan udvide os og modtage mere af hans liv.
I once saw a young man nursing his little girl who had food poisoning.
Jeg så engang en ung mand, som passede på sin datter, der havde fået madforgiftning.
And in order for her not to be hospitalized, he had to make sure she was not dehydrated.
Og for at undgå, at hun skulle ind på hospitalet, så måtte han sørge for, at hun ikke blev dehydreret.
And he was feeding her minute drops of water through a pipette.
Og han gav hende bitte små dråber af vand gennem en pipette.
And as I looked at him, God said to me,
og da jeg så på ham, så sagde Gud til mig,
I'm like that.
Sådan er jeg også.
Giving tiny tokens of love.
Jeg giver bittesmå bevis på min kærlighed.
Followed by more tiny tokens of love.
Og de bliver fulgt af endnu flere små beviser.
Our difficulty is a lot of us is we don't know that we're deprived.
Vores problem er, at tit så ved vi ikke, at vi mangler noget.
We don't know that we are only able to receive tiny little tokens of love.
Vi ved ikke, at vi kun er i stand til at modtage en lille bitte smule af kærlighed ad gangen.
Because when we haven't been emotionally well fed,
fordi når vi ikke er blevet når vi ikke har fået nok emotionel føde,
we learn to survive on very little.
Så lærer vi at overleve med meget lidt.
And so we lack the capacity to receive more.
Og så mangler vi kapaciteten til overhovedet at modtage mere.
I was at a meeting once when the man on the platform was calling out for more power, more love.
Jeg var på et møde engang, hvor man ved platformen kaldte på mere kærlighed og mere kraft.
And I understood what he meant.
Og jeg forstod, hvad han mente.
But the picture I had was of a garden tap.
Men det billede jeg havde var en vandhane i en have.
With a very shallow dish under it.
Med en meget hul skål under det.
And the more the preacher called for more power,
og jo mere prædikanten bad om mere kraft,
the more water came from the tap,
jo mere vand flød der ud af vandhanen,
It hit the shallow dish.
Og det ramte den her skål.
And bounced out.
Og prallede af.
And I realized I knew it was me, this picture.
Og jeg vidste, at det billede handlede om mig.
And I realized I needed a deeper receptacle.
Og jeg opdagede, at jeg havde brug for en dybere skål.
And I had to pray for God to increase my capacity to receive from him.
Og jeg måtte bede Gud om at forøge min kapacitet til at modtage fra ham.
Generally, we don't need more of God in the room.
Normalt har vi ikke brug for mere Gud i rummet.
We don't need more of his love or more of his power.
Vi har ikke brug for mere hans kærlighed eller mere hans kraft.
I mean, it's overwhelming.
Det er overvældende.
We need to learn how to have an increased capacity to receive it and hold on to it.
Men vi har brug for at lære, hvordan vi øger vores kapacitet til at modtage og beholde det, vi får.
Now in John 10:10, as it says, Jesus came to give life and life abundantly.
Som der står i Johannes 10, så kom Jesus for at give liv og liv i overflod.
Now the masculine is the life giver.
Og det maskuline er livgiveren.
Now we're going to talk about masculine and feminine a bit this week.
Vi skal tale lidt om det maskuline og feminine den her uge.
We are all both masculine and feminine.
Og vi er alle både maskuline og feminine.
But a healed man has more masculine than he has feminine.
Men en helbredt mand har mere maskulin end feminin i sig.
And a healed woman has more feminine than she has masculine.
Og en helbredt kvinde har mere feminin end maskulin i sig.
Okay, but the man is meant to be the life giver.
Så det er meningen, at manden skal være livgiveren.
The female carries life.
Og kvinden bærer liv.
Gives birth.
Føder.
Gives life to that life.
Giver liv til livet.
But the man is the initiator, the life giver.
Men det er manden, der sætter i gang og giver liv.
Now, if we've got healthy dads, they symbolize God to us in this way.
Og hvis vi har sunde fædre, så symboliserer de Gud for os på den her måde.
A healthy dad awakens life in us.
En sund far vækker liv i os.
Points out sunsets.
Peger på solnedgang.
Helps us to realize our full potential.
Hjælper os til at indse vores fulde potentiale.
Helps us to discover our purposes in life.
Hjælper os til at opdage, hvad vores formål i livet er.
And our relationship with God.
Og vores forhold til Gud.
However, if we've not had fathers who are like this,
men hvis vi ikke har haft fædre, som er på den måde,
if we've had fathers who are depressed,
hvis vi har haft depressive fædre,
or emotionally absent,
eller følelsesmæssigt fjerne fædre,
then there's a part of us that's never been called into life.
Så er der en del af os, som aldrig er blevet kaldt til liv.
Or maybe our fathers were the sort that said, "Well, don't ask because you won't be disappointed."
Eller måske har vores fædre sagt til os, lad være med at spørge, for så bliver du ikke skuffet.
And so then we don't know, risk asking. We have no permission to be, no permission to ask.
Og så risikerer vi ikke at spørge. Vi har ingen tilladelse til at spørge.
And so often the prophets in the Bible strained to come up with words to describe what they saw.
Tit så anstrengte profeterne sig i Bibelen for at finde ord for det de så.
Tozer puts it this way, he says, when the spirit would acquaint us with something that lies beyond the field of our knowledge.
Tozer sagde, når ånden gør os bekendt med noget, som ligger ud over, hvad vi kender til.
He tells us that this thing is like something that we already know.
Så siger han, at den her ting er ligesom noget, vi allerede kender.
With symbolic pictures we have, the minute we give them words, they somehow lose something of what we've seen. We've all experienced this at different times, haven't we?
Tit med de symboler vi får, så mister de noget af det vi har set, når vi sætter ord på dem.
So I'm going to attempt to describe to you a picture I saw back in 1992.
Jeg vil prøve at beskrive et billede for jer, som jeg så i 1992.
And the picture began when I saw a central figure that was both Jesus.
Og billedet startede med, at jeg så en central figur, som både var Jesus.
And then he was a man.
Og så var han en mand.
And then the man went back to being Jesus.
Og så blev manden til Jesus igen.
And he was in the center of time.
Og han var midt i altid.
With history stretching out behind him and before him.
Og historien strakte sig ud både foran og bag ved ham.
And this central figure, sometimes Jesus, sometimes man.
Og den her centrale figur, som nogle gange var Jesus og nogle gange var en mand.
Was praying and chanting.
bad og messede.
It sounded very Jewish.
Det lød meget jødisk.
It was strong yet tender and beautiful all at once.
Og det var stærkt, men samtidig følsomt og smukt alt sammen på en gang.
And I didn't hear any words.
Og jeg hørte ikke nogen ord.
But I knew that it was an intercessory prayer towards the throne of God.
Men jeg forstod, at det var en forbøn mod Guds trone.
And the central figure somehow faced both the throne.
Og den her centrale figur vendte på en eller anden måde ansigtet både mod tronen
and mankind.
Og hele menneskeheden.
And had I have heard words, the chant towards the throne was a cry for mercy.
Og hvis jeg havde kunne høre nogle ord, så havde den her messen mod tronen været en bøn om noget.
At the same time, this voice was like a lullaby.
På samme tid så var stemmen også en vuggesang.
A lullaby of shelter and nurturing and tenderness.
En sang om ro og næring og ømhed.
And as I watched, this central figure became a healed man.
Som jeg så den her centrale figur blive en helbredt mand.
Who was able to intercede before the throne of God.
Som var i stand til at gå i forbøn foran Guds trone.
But also provide a healing lullaby towards family.
Samtidig så kunne han også synge en helbredende vuggesang over familie.
And this picture floated through history, and sometimes there was no man.
Og billedet det flød sådan gennem historien, og nogle gange var der ikke nogen mand.
And there was a woman lighting a candle and praying.
Så var der i stedet for en kvinde, som tændte et lys og bad.
But then it would go back to the man.
Men så gik det tilbage til at være en mand.
And I knew that this healed man was God's desire for us.
Og jeg vidste, at den her helbredte mand var det Gud ønskede for os.
Because this strong voice could be heard beyond what was immediate family.
Fordi den her stærke stemme kunne høres ud over hvad der lige var den nære familie.
Could be heard by the most fragmented and lost.
Og kunne høres af dem der var mest i tuslåne og fortabt.
They could hear this call of God and come into a safe place.
De kunne også høre Guds kalden og komme ind på et trygt sted.
Because so many have never heard an affirming voice.
Der er mange der aldrig har hørt en bekræftende stemme.
And it had a profound effect on me. I could only describe it that I knew that it was about the healing of the masculine.
Og det havde en dyb effekt på mig, men jeg kunne beskrive det som at jeg vidste det handlede om helbredelsen af det maskuline.
And for so many of us the reason that we aren't able to come into that place of receiving life and being able to give life is because we are unaffirmed.
Og for mange af os så er grunden til at vi ikke kan komme ind på det sted hvor vi kan modtage liv og livsbekræftende eller liv er at vi ikke er bekræftet.
Jesus when he was baptized in the river Jordan.
Da Jesus blev døbt i Jordanfloden.
Heard a voice.
Hørte han en stemme.
Saying, "This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased."
Som sagde, "Det her er min elskede søn, i ham har jeg velbehag."
It is actually the baptism in the Bible is the only place where you get the Trinity together.
Den her dåb er faktisk det eneste sted i Bibelen, hvor treenigheden er sammen.
You've got Jesus in bodily form, you've got God's voice, and you've got the dove.
Man har Jesus i menneskeform og Guds stemme og Helligånden som duen.
And Jesus hadn't begun his ministry, so it wasn't to do with achievement.
Og Jesus havde ikke begyndt sin tjeneste, så det handlede ikke om, at han skulle opnå noget.
But he has heard his father say to him, "This is my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased."
Men han hørte sin himmelske far sige, "Det er mit elskede barn, i ham har jeg velbehag."
Now, if Jesus needed to hear his heavenly father affirming him,
og hvis Jesus havde behov for at høre sin himmelske far bekræfte ham,
then we can assume that we were meant to have heard our dads affirming us.
Så kan vi godt antage, at vi også har brug for at vores fædre bekræfter os.
Now, you know, like me, I knew my dad loved me.
For mit vedkommende, så vidste jeg, at min far elskede mig.
But he was never able to communicate that.
Men han kunne aldrig rigtig kommunikere det.
And at one level we know it.
Og på et plan, så ved vi det.
But at another level, we still have that longing to hear it.
Og på et andet plan, så længes vi stadig efter at høre det.
Now you do understand, don't you? We're never suggesting reparenting. We just have to bring our loneliness towards God and ask Him to meet it.
We don't
reparent anyone. We take that fatherless place in our hearts to God and ask Him to be our Father.
Okay, så det er ikke sådan at vi bærer nag mod nogen, men vi
Vi
prøver ikke at koble os til andre forældre, men vi tager det savn hen til Gud.
This isn't about sort of going back and trying to find new dads.
Okay, så vi prøver ikke på at finde nye forældre.
But when we're unaffirmed,
men når vi ikke er blevet bekræftet,
and then we are unable to pass on to our children that life-giving experience of affirmation.
Så kan vi heller ikke videregive den livsbekræftende bekræftelse til vores børn.
Until God comes and heals us.
Før Gud kommer og helbreder os.
You see, most of our dads were not affirmed by their dads.
De fleste af vores fædre var ikke blevet bekræftet af deres fædre.
And their dads were not affirmed by their dads.
Og deres fædre var ikke blevet bekræftet af deres fædre.
And so there's this sort of crisis in the world as to how things are meant to be.
Så der er sådan en krise i forhold til hvordan ting burde være.
We've lost all sense of Jewish blessing.
Vi har mistet al fornemmelse af den jødiske velsignelse.
And so we've lost the sense of what true masculine is like.
Og vi har mistet fornemmelsen af hvad det sande maskuline er.
Now I'm going to read Psalm 112 to you. I'll read it in English and then you read the whole of the psalm in Danish. Yeah?
Så vi læser salme 112 først på engelsk og så på dansk.
Praise the Lord. Happy is the man who fears the Lord. Yes, happy is he who delights in doing what he commands. His children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will never be forgotten. When darkness overtakes the godly, light will come bursting in. He's generous, compassionate and righteous. All goes well for the man who is generous, who lends freely and who conducts his business fairly. Such a man will not be overcome by evil circumstances. He who is righteous will be long remembered. He doesn't fear bad news. He confidently trusts in the Lord to care for him. He is confident and fearless, and he can face his foes triumphantly. He gives generously to those in need. His good deeds will never be forgotten. He will have influence and honor. The wicked will be infuriated when they see this. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. Praise the Lord.
Halleluja. Lykkelig den, der frygter Herren og elsker hans bud højt. Hans afkom bliver mægtigt i landet, retskaffende slægt velsignes. Rigdom og velstand fylder hans hus, og hans retfærdighed består til evig tid. For de retskaffende bryder lys frem i mørket. Han er nådig, barmhjertig og retfærdig. Lykkelig den, der låner gavmildt ud og sørger for sin ejendom på rette måde, for han skal aldrig vakle. Altid skal den retfærdige huskes. Han frygter ikke budskab om ulykke. Hans hjerte er trygt i tillid til Herren. Med fasthed i sindet frygter han ikke. Han får sine fjenders nederlag at se. Han strør ud. Han giver til de fattige. Hans retfærdighed består til evig tid. Hans horn løfter sig herligt. Den ugudelige ser det og græmmer sig. Han skærer tænder og synker sammen. Hvad de ugudelige ønsker, lykkes ikke.
Now Anita's going to come and talk now about where this crisis in masculinity, this lack of affirmation, has now become a more of a cultural issue in this generation, and she's going to come and explain about other aspects of this crisis.
Anita vil tale om hvordan mangel på bekræftelse og den krisen i det maskuline kulturelt er blevet til noget andet og mere.
Hey. Right. I am going to talk to you now about misandry.
Jeg skal tale til jer nu om mandehed.
Many of you will have heard the term misogyny.
Mange af jer har sikkert hørt om kvindehed eller misogyni.
That is just one aspect of the effect of the sword between the sexes.
Og det er bare et aspekt af det svær, der er blevet kløvet ned mellem kønnene.
Misandry, which is an ambivalence towards men.
Misandry, som er en ambivalens mod mænd.
A dislike of men.
Eller en ikke kun lide mænd.
Is another aspect.
Det er et andet aspekt af det.
Unlike misogyny.
I modsætning til kvindehed eller misogyni.
Misandry has been little discussed over the years.
Så er misandry ikke blevet diskuteret særlig meget i løbet af årene.
And the best definition that I've ever been able to find.
Og den bedste definition jeg nogensinde har fundet.
Is that of Patrick Arnold.
Er en der kommer fra Patrick Arnold.
Who is from the Society of Jesuits.
Som er fra Jesuitersamfundet.
And he says that misandry is.
Og han siger at misandry er.
Attributing negative qualities to the entire male gender.
At tilskrive negative kvaliteter til hele det mandlige køn.
A claim that men are the source of human vices such as violence and oppression.
Og at hævde at mænd er kilden til menneskelige fejl som vold og undertrykkelse.
And the assignment of blame solely to men. For humanity's historic evils.
Og at tilskrive mænd alene alt det onde der er sket i historien.
And women's responsibility isn't included, and men aren't given credit for their achievements.
Så kvinders ansvar i historien bliver ikke inkluderet, og mænd får heller ikke ros for det de har opnået.
And there are lots of different forms of ministry, misandry.
Der er mange forskellige.
There are lots of different forms of ministry.
Misandry.
In its most overt expression.
Og den tydeligste, det tydeligste udtryk.
Misandrists openly dislike all men.
Det er når dem der hader mænd ikke kan lide nogen mænd overhovedet.
Other forms are much more subtle.
Der er også nogle mere skjulte former.
Where women just hold all men under suspicion.
Hvor kvinder bare er mistænkelige over for alle mænd.
Now over the years there have always been women who dislike men and men who dislike women.
Og gennem tiden så har der altid været kvinder der ikke kan lide mænd og mænd der ikke bryder sig om kvinder.
But misandry first appeared in literature in 1945.
Men misandry dukkede først op i litteraturen i 1945.
And in the article in which it was mentioned.
Og den artikel der blev skrevet.
A professor from Yale University.
Blev skrevet af en professor fra Yale.
Said that misandry is almost never found in literature.
Og der stod at misandry bliver næsten aldrig fundet i litteraturen.
Misogyny is now in almost every dictionary.
Men misogyni, altså had kvindehed, findes i næsten alle ordbøger.
But misandry is not.
Men det gør misandry ikke.
It's still true today that it isn't recognized as a word.
Det er stadig sandt i dag at det ikke er anerkendt som et ord.
Yet it's one of the most pervasive afflictions of our time.
Men det er en af de mest gennemgående lidelser i vores tid.
Women traditionally were regarded as inferior to men.
Kvinder er sådan traditionelt blevet betragtet som underlegne mænd.
Both physically and intellectually.
Både fysisk og intellektuelt.
And it was commonly assumed that girls weren't as clever as boys.
Og det var almindeligt at antage at kvinder ikke var så, eller piger ikke var så kloge som drenge.
And women were only interested in having babies, not in pursuing jobs.
Og det eneste kvinder var interesseret i var at få børn og ikke at få jobs.
At one time through history women were not allowed to possess property in their name.
På et tidspunkt i historien så måtte kvinder ikke eje noget i deres navn.
And they weren't allowed to engage in trade or business.
Og de måtte ikke indgå i handler eller ja, business.
Men were always seen as much more powerful.
Mænd er altid blevet betragtet som meget mere magtfulde.
Better than women.
Bedre end kvinder.
And they were, have also always been seen as oppressors.
Og de har også altid været betragtet som undertrykkere.
But that isn't how God intended it to be.
Men det er ikke sådan Gud havde tænkt sig det skulle være.
God intended for man to be the protector.
Gud havde tænkt sig at manden skulle være beskytteren.
To be the provider.
Og forsørgeren.
And he created men and women as equal.
Og han har skabt mænd og kvinder som ligeværdige.
With attributes that complement each other.
Med evner som komplementerer hinanden.
The responsibility for wounded masculinity.
Ansvaret for den sårede maskulinitet.
Lies with absent and placid fathers.
Det ansvar ligger hos fraværende og udtryksløse fædre.
Mothers who closet their little boys too much.
Mødre som beskytter deres små børn for meget, eller drenge for meget.
And extreme feminism.
Og ekstrem feminisme.
And it's difficult to find any mention of misandry prior to the feminist movement.
Det er svært at finde nogen beskrivelse af misandry før feministbevægelsen.
And that really dates from around about 1848.
Og det starter sådan omkring 1848.
And it began in North America.
Og det startede i Nordamerika.
It wasn't until the 1960s.
Det var ikke før 60'erne.
That there was a second wave of feminism that spread throughout Europe.
At der kom en anden bølge af feminisme, som også spredte sig gennem Europa.
Feminism centers on the idea that all women are oppressed because of their gender.
Feminisme centrerer sig om den idé, at alle kvinder er undertrykte på grund af deres køn.
They are undervalued, they're disadvantaged, and they're exploited.
De er undervurderet og udnyttet.
Yeah. And because of that, women had a deep resentment and distrust towards men.
Og på grund af det, så har kvinder sådan en modvilje mod og mistro til mænd.
And they especially had a defiance towards men in authority.
Og de havde også sådan oprør mod mænd i autoritet.
And what happened was, as feminism spread,
og det der skete, som feminismen bredte sig,
little by little, women began to correctly demand,
var at kvinder lidt sådan hen ad vejen begyndte med rette og kræve
things like higher education,
ting som bedre uddannelse,
property,
ejendom,
professions,
karriere,
the right to vote,
retten til at stemme,
and an equal standing with men.
Og ligeværdighed med mænd.
But what happened in extreme feminism?
Men det der skete i den ekstreme feminisme
was a sinful reaction to the sin against them.
Var en syndig reaktion på den synd der allerede var begået mod dem.
And instead of the balance being corrected, it ended up overcorrected.
Så i stedet for at balancen blev genoprettet, så blev den skæv til den anden side.
Women got what they wanted.
Kvinder fik hvad de ville have.
Fairness and equality.
Retfærdighed og ligestilling.
But they no longer had the classical man because they destroyed him.
Men de havde ikke længere den klassiske mand, for ham havde de ødelagt.
Boys grew up with self-hatred.
Drenge voksede op og hadede sig selv.
And men lost their role.
Og mænd mistede deres rolle.
Traditional masculinity became stigmatized.
Traditionel maskulinitet blev stigmatiseret.
And nowadays men are seen as an optional extra.
Og nu om dagen så bliver mænd set som et muligt tilvalg.
There are a lot of single mothers.
Der er masser af enlige mødre.
And men became just there as a fertilization role.
Og mænd blev bare en der skulle befrugte.
But children need both a male and a female reference point.
Men børn har brug for både et mandligt og et kvindeligt referencepunkt.
Dr. Jeffrey Satinova.
Jeffrey Satinova.
Who's the author of Homosexuality and the Politics of Truth.
Som har skrevet Homoseksualitet og Sandhedens Politik.
Says that it is crystal clear.
Det er krystalklart, siger han.
That the absence of a father, physically or emotionally.
At fraværet af en far, hverken det er fysisk eller emotionelt.
In a child's life.
I et barns liv.
Is one of the most pathogenic features.
Er et af de mest sygeliggørende træk.
That you could conceive of.
Som man kan forestille sig.
Hundreds of studies have examined the long-term impact on children.
Der er hundredvis af studier, der har undersøgt langtidsvirkningerne på børn.
Who are raised without a father.
Børn, som bliver opdraget uden en far.
Fathers play differently with their children.
Fædre leger anderledes med deres børn.
Particularly with their little boys.
Særligt med deres små drenge.
It's quite often a much more rough and tumble way of playing.
Det er tit sådan en lidt mere voldsom leg.
Father's role is to show the child the world around them.
Faderens rolle er at vise barnet verden omkring det.
To help them persevere when they're faced with a problem.
Og hjælpe dem til at holde ud, når de står over for et problem.
And in a survey last year,
og i en undersøgelse sidste år,
it showed that fathers play a vital role.
Viste sig, at fædre spiller en vital rolle.
With benefits including things like children achieving more at school.
Og effekten er, at børn for eksempel opnår mere i skolen.
And being able to form good, healthy relationships.
Og i stand til at forme gode, sunde relationer.
So both parents matter.
Så det er vigtigt med begge forældre.
And modern day fathers have a real battle on their hands.
Moderne fædre står over for en vigtig kamp.
Now, misandry turns the tables on what's classed as the gender war.
Misandry det vender ligesom rollerne i det, der hedder kønskampen.
Instead of it being men ganging up on women,
i stedet for at mænd rottede sig sammen mod kvinder,
it's now the reverse.
Så er det nu det modsatte.
There's been a long and gradual cultural attack on men.
Der har været et langt gradvist kulturelt angreb på mænd.
Misandry in women is expressed as a distortion of the true feminine.
Misandry i kvinder bliver udtrykt som en forvrængning af det sande feminine.
And a moving away from the true masculine.
Og en bevægelse væk fra det sandt maskuline.
Now for me, because of my background of abuse.
For mig på grund af min baggrund med misbrug.
I had an intense dislike of men.
Så havde jeg en intens modvilje mod mænd.
And I considered them all to be bad and dangerous.
Og jeg tænkte, at de alle var onde og farlige.
And you find in misandry that there is an unspoken approval.
Og i misandry er der sådan en usagt anerkendelse af.
Of expressing contempt towards men.
At det er i orden at udtrykke foragt for mænd.
And that was something that I really struggled with.
Og det var noget, jeg virkelig kæmpede med.
Psychologists say that the emotional abuse of men.
Psykologer siger, at følelsesmæssig misbrug af mænd
is now much more common than the emotional abuse of women.
Er meget mere normalt nu end følelsesmæssigt misbrug af kvinder.
Boys don't tend to be taught good communication skills.
Det er sjældent, at drenge lærer gode kommunikationsevner.
Traditionally, boys internalize their emotions.
Traditionelt så vender drenge deres følelser indad.
Particularly at home in the UK, they were taught to keep a stiff upper lip, be strong.
Særligt hjemme i England, så fik man at vide, at man skulle være stærk og upåvirket.
So men grew up with a limited ability to communicate emotionally.
Så mænd voksede op med en begrænset evne til at kommunikere følelsesmæssigt.
And they tended to rely on their wives for emotional support.
Og de plejede at være afhængige af deres koner for at få emotionel støtte.
Now it should also be remembered that men can actually be misandrists themselves.
Det skal også huskes, at mænd kan være mændehædere selv.
And that's because over the years they've sought the approval and affection of women.
Og det er fordi de gennem årene har søgt bekræftelse og accept fra kvinder.
Which has helped them to get good jobs.
Og det har hjulpet dem til at få gode jobs.
And to withstand competition from other men.
Og at modstå konkurrence fra andre mænd.
So here's some examples of misandry.
Så her er nogle eksempler på misandry.
The first and most obvious is physical abuse.
Den mest åbenlyse er fysisk misbrug.
We don't find violence towards women very funny.
Vold mod kvinder synes vi ikke er særlig sjovt.
But violence towards men is considered funny.
Men vold mod mænd er lidt sjovt.
There are lots and lots more false accusations of rape and sexual harassment.
Der er mange falske anmeldelser af vold og voldtægt.
Men are made to look silly.
Og mænd bliver latterliggjort.
Particularly in things like TV programs, TV adverts.
Særligt i TV-programmer og TV-reklamer.
There's one in particular at home that they used to show a lot on TV.
Der er en bestemt derhjemme, som de ofte viste på TV.
where men were portrayed as being unable to mix a packet sauce without a woman's help.
Hvor der blev vist mænd, som ikke kunne blande sådan en pulversauce uden en kvinde hjælp dem.
Men are used much more nowadays as sex objects.
Mænd bliver brugt meget mere som sexobjekter nu.
And pornography amongst women has become a really big problem.
Og pornografi blandt kvinder er blevet et stort problem.
There was a story in the papers just recently in the UK.
Der var en historie i aviserne i England lige for nylig.
Where a man working in a department store in London.
En mand, der arbejdede i en butik i London.
Was harassed by an older lady working in the same department.
Han blev chikaneret af en ældre kvinde, der arbejdede i den samme afdeling.
And she was continually smacking him on the bottom.
Og hun blev ved med at klasse ham bag.
Which he didn't like.
Og det kunne han ikke lide.
And in the end, he made a complaint, an official complaint against her.
Og til sidst så klagede han sådan officielt.
And this was all over the news.
Og det var overalt i nyhederne.
And he was really portrayed as being very silly, making something out of nothing.
Og han blev fremstillet som om han var latterlig, han gjorde noget stort ud af noget der ikke betød noget.
But it was actually very offensive to him.
Men det var faktisk stødende for ham.
Men are often not considered to be victims.
Ofte så bliver mænd ikke betragtet som ofre.
And any man that is victimized.
Og enhver mand der er et offer.
Is considered to be less of a man.
Bliver betragtet som lidt mindre end mænd.
So the effects of misandry.
Effekterne af misandry.
Well, there are elements of feminism that appeal to young girls.
Der er elementer af feminisme, som appellerer til unge piger.
Because it promises them a privileged status.
Fordi det lover dem en privilegeret status.
And it can give them freedom of choice without responsibility.
Og det kan give dem frihed til at vælge uden ansvar.
But it also demoralizes men.
Men det demoraliserer også mænd.
Men suffer because of their father wounds.
Mænd lider på grund af deres sår for deres fædre.
And because they're not affirmed in their masculinity.
Og fordi de ikke bliver bekræftet i deres maskulinitet.
They become alienated from women.
De bliver fremmedgjorte fra kvinder.
Have a tendency to keep women at a distance.
Og har en tendens til at holde kvinder på afstand.
There's a lack of ability to express themselves emotionally.
Der er en manglende evne til at udtrykke sig selv følelsesmæssigt.
A distortion of self-worth.
Og en forvrænget opfattelse af selvværd.
Deep shame.
Dyb skam.
And a crisis in male identity.
Og en krise i den maskuline identitet.
In a survey that they did sometime last year.
Og i en undersøgelse fra sidste år.
60% of the men that they spoke to.
Siger 60% af de adspurgte mænd.
Said that they didn't feel masculine.
At de ikke følte sig maskuline.
Women also agree that things have gone too far.
Kvinder er også enige om, at ting er gået for langt.
And they want the traditional man back.
Og de vil gerne have den traditionelle mand tilbage.
So we need to stop accepting misandry as a way of life.
Så vi må holde op med at acceptere misandry som en livsstil.
And begin to respect each other.
Og begynde at respektere hinanden.
So to begin with, we want to pray for you women who have some ambivalence towards men.
Så til at begynde med, vil vi gerne bede for de kvinder her, der har en eller anden ambivalence mod mænd.
And ambivalence sort of ranges from thinking they're fairly useless.
Og ambivalencen går fra at tænke, at de er lidt nytteløse.
Right through to sort of a real despising or fear.
Og helt hen til en rigtig foragt eller frygt.
I mean, it's also true in the United Kingdom and probably here as well that men really struggle after a divorce or a breakup to get access to their children.
Det er sandt i England og sikkert også her, at efter en skilsmisse er der mange mænd, der kæmper for at få adgang til deres børn.
And generally are just not considered as important within that family unit.
Og generelt så bliver de bare ikke betragtet som særlig vigtige familie.
So anything that's true from thoughts that are thought to be men are irresponsible or that they don't take their role seriously, right through to despising those of you women who have this, some level of negative thinking towards men, in particular or in general, if you'd like to stand, we're going to pray a confessional prayer. Well done.
Så alle de kvinder, der har enten en generel eller specifik modvilje mod mænd, og det kan være lige fra, at de ikke rigtig dur til noget, til sådan foragt for dem, hvis I vil stå op, så beder vi en
if you'd like to stand now.
Bekendende bøn.
So Father, I confess on behalf of all the women here.
For jeg bekender på vegne af alle kvinder her.
Of mothers, sisters.
På vegne af mødre og søstre.
Wives.
Hustruer.
The sin that we have committed against you, our brothers.
Den synd, som vi har begået mod dig og vores brødre.
And our ambivalence toward you.
Og vores ambivalence mod dig.
Confess that we have not accepted your ways of thinking and doing.
Jeg bekender, at vi ikke har accepteret din måde at tænke og handle på.
And we're truly sorry.
Og det er vi dybt ked af.
And we ask your forgiveness.
Og vi beder om din tilgivelse.
So receive your forgiveness now in the name of Jesus.
Same with us, tilgivelse nu i Jesu navn.
And Father God, I ask that you will come and cleanse your daughters of the effects of this sin in their hearts.
Jeg beder om, at du vil komme og rense dine døtre for effekten af den her synd i deres hjerte.
I pray you'll renew their minds.
At du vil genoprette deres sind.
And Father, I pray where there has been specific sins against your daughters that have caused this attitude.
Og der hvor der har været specifikke synder mod dine døtre, som har endt i den her attitude.
I pray these specific injuries and wounding.
Så beder jeg om, at de specifikke sår
will surface during the next few days.
Vi kommer til overfladen gennem eller over de næste par dage.
If not already known.
Hvis ikke allerede.
So that they may be healed by your Holy Spirit's presence.
Så de kan blive helbredt af din hellige ånds nærvær.
Father God, I pray you'll remove right now that grid of injury.
For jeg beder mig, at du lige nu vil fjerne det gitter af sårighed.
Father God, for some of your daughters here, where it is a man who has injured them, wounded them, sinned against them.
Hvor det for nogle af dine døtre her er en bestemt mand, der har såret dem og syndet mod dem.
But the lens through which they see all men is distorted by this injury.
Men den linse, hvor igennem de ser alle mænd, er blevet forvrænget af den her.
And I pray now that you will come and lift off their hearts, this distorted lens of what men are like.
Jeg beder om, at du vil komme nu og løfte den her forvrænget linse af, hvordan mænd er fra deres hjerte.
And Father, I pray you'll release your daughters from fear.
Og jeg beder om, at du vil frigøre dine døtre fra frygt.
Where there's the despise of men is linked with the fear of man.
Der hvor foragt for mænd også er knyttet til frygt for mænd.
Thank you, Lord. And Father, I pray your right for those particular ones of your daughters where it's a specific man injury. I pray you'll write the words of truth across their hearts that not all men are the same.
Og for de tilfælde, hvor det gælder en bestemt mand, så beder jeg om, at du vil skrive dine sandhedsord på deres hjerter, at ikke alle mænd er ens.
Thank you, Lord. Set us free from generalization.
Og sæt os fri fra generaliseringer.
Okay, ladies, if you could take a seat now, can we ask all the men to stand, please?
Så hvis I vil sætte jer nu, og hvis alle mænd vil rejse sig.
Father God, I pray now that you will come, and much like we were washed clean from the dust of this world last night, I pray that you'll come and wash your sons clean from the subtle cultural sin of misandry.
Jeg beder om, at du kommer og vasker dine synder rent fra misandry.
Pray now for your cleansing of minds.
Beder om, at du vil rense deres sind.
Your cleansing of hearts.
Rense hjerterne.
And Father, I pray particularly where there has been a capitulation, a agreement.
Jeg beder specielt for de tilfælde, hvor der har været en overgivelse eller en aftale.
That this is probably correct, and
at det sikkert er rigtigt.
And that it's a healthy rebalancing.
At du må genoprette en sund balance.
And I pray now, Father God, you will minister to every man standing who recognizes that they are operating less of their masculinity than you've called them into.
Og jeg beder om, at du vil betjene alle de mænd, der står og føler, at de bruger mindre af deres maskulinitet, end de kan.
Father God, I pray that you will come with your affirming voice.
Og jeg beder om, at du vil komme med din bekræftende stemme.
You are my beloved son.
Du er min elskede søn.
In whom I am well pleased.
I dig har jeg velbehag.
Father God, I pray also for the younger men here, where there's any confusion in their role in society and what it means to be a man.
Jeg beder også for de yngre mænd her, hvis der er nogen forvirring om, hvad deres rolle i samfundet er, og hvad det betyder at være en mand.
I pray you minister to that imagery confusion.
At du vil røre ved den forvirring i billeder.
And in the name of the Lord Jesus, we call forth in you the true masculine.
Og i Jesu navn, så kalder vi det sandt maskuline frem i jer.
We call forth in you the all that God intends you to be.
Vi kalder alt det Gud har tænkt, vi skal være frem.
And I pray, Father God, you'll release your sons from fear of themselves.
Og jeg beder dig frem, at du vil gør dine sønner fri fra frygt for sig selv.
I pray you'll release them from any fear of if they were to really become all that you intended them to be, they'd be too much.
Frigør dem fra frygten for, at hvis de virkelig blev alt, hvad du har tænkt, de skulle være, så ville de være for meget.
And Father God, I pray Father, I pray for those men standing, just put your hands up for me, who had a difficult relationship with your own fathers.
Og de mænd, der stod, dem er, der havde et svært forhold til jeres egen far, må gerne løfte hånden.
Okay. If the men on the UK team would just go and start to minister.
Så hvis mændene fra det engelske team går rundt op her.
I'm going to pray a blessing on everyone else. Those of you who had a difficult relationship with your own dads, we're going to pray for you specifically.
Dem er, der havde et svært forhold til jeres far, beder vi for specielt, og ellers en generel velsignelse.
That's what I'm trying to do.
this is a separation from that.
Yes. Okay. Those of you with your hands up, if you'd come forward, if you haven't got someone praying for you.
Dem er der ikke blevet bedt for, som har hånden op, kom bare frem.
We're going to get to you, but we're going to have one more prayer first for the other men.
Så beder vi for jer, men vi skal først bede en anden bønnes.
Yeah, because there'll be some of these as well.
Okay, for some of you men and for others, where you've been, you or your fathers were shamed.
Der er nogle af mænd og andre, hvis fædre blev udskammet.
Or receive some form of disrespect.
Eller er blevet behandlet med manglende respekt.
Either from mother or from other women.
Enten fra jeres mor eller fra andre kvinder.
And now you are apprehensive of stepping forward in the masculine.
Og nu er I nervøse for at træde frem i det maskuline.
Confused about taking decisions.
Og forvirret om at træffe beslutninger.
Or emphasizing what you feel to be right.
Eller at lægge vægt på, hvad I føler er rigtigt.
If that's true, can you raise your hand?
Hvis det er sandt, så løft jeres hånd. Okay. Det gælder også dem for.
Okay, so Father God, we ask now that you would lift off this shame.
Så far, vi beder om, at du vil løfte den her skam væk.
That you would minister to this place of feeling disrespected.
At du vil røre ved det sted, hvor man føler sig uden respekt.
Where that masculine authority has been damaged.
Hvor den maskuline autoritet er blevet skadet.
And there's the fear of taking decisions.
Og der er frygt for at træffe beslutninger.
The fear of being seen to be foolish.
Og frygt for at virke fjollet.
Or that women in particular, or the wife.
Og at kvinder generelt eller hustruen.
Will disagree with your opinions.
Vil være uenig med din holdning.
And you will feel shamed.
Og du vil føle dig skamfuld.
We ask that you would lift that fear off of them now.
Vi beder om, at du vil fjerne den frygt nu.
It would restore confidence.
Og genskabe selvsikkerhed.
And help them to know how to speak their feelings.
Og hjælp dem til at vide, hvordan de skal udtrykke deres følelser.
Without fear.
Uden frygt.
And to be willing to discuss them.
Og være klar til at diskutere dem.
And to move forward.
Og til at bevæge sig fremad.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And so now, those of you who've had difficulties with your fathers, you stay here, and I'd like UK team and core Danish team only to come and pray with these men.
Så dem er der har problemer med jeres fædre, bare bliv stående her, og så kommer det engelske team og det danske kerneteam og bliver
for. And for the rest of you, go and have a great lunch time.
Og resten af jer, nyd jeres frokost.
And we'll see you at 2 o'clock.
Og så ses vi klokken 2.